Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Welcome back. Now, whether you're training for a marathon or just inspired by the Olympics and trying to run more, it's important to think about nutrition. And who better to discuss the hungriness of the long distance runner than running coach Mary Jennings and dietitian with the Irish Nutrition and Dietetic Institute, Louise Reynolds. Mary, to go to you first, we're obviously watching elite athletes at the Olympics. Tomorrow the athletics starts. I think we're out first with the walking racers, but for people at the other end, all of us trying to sometimes figure out the couch to 5k and beyond, what's the advice you would have for people inspired into action now when it comes to their nutrition before and after a run?
Well, hello Anya. Yes, it's definitely inspiring, isn't it? The Olympics. But yeah, so whether you're just starting out as a running or if you've been running for a long time, I suppose what we eat and how we fuel ourselves can only help.
Very
that
good.
Said,
yeah,
it's keeping it very simple at the start. You don't need to be starting measuring, how much porridge you're having or anything like that. It's knowing what agrees with your body, actually, first and foremost, and actually the timing of your food. So if you think about it, when you're running, your body really is bouncing up and down. So the last thing you want is to be like a human milkshake, I suppose, with food going up and down within you. You know, so it's having that good gap between eating and going for a run, regardless of what the food actually is, first of all. And the same actually with the hydration. People think, oh, I don't want to be dehydrated. But at the same time, that's not drinking a bottle of water just at the start line. It's actually the few days leading up to your run where your body will rehydrate.
So it's all balance, getting the timing right, and then fueling up, yeah, your proteins and your carbs.
Yeah, keeping it simple, actually. Yeah. You know, it's, like with any of us, if you're thinking, we all probably know what kind of a breakfast agrees with us. And actually, if you're going for a morning run, maybe you're the type of person that actually prefers to get out and run first and then have your breakfast. But I know other people who feel they can't go out the door without some food in them. So it's a lot of trial and error, to be honest.
Yes.
I mean, we're not training as Olympians, so we can experiment, we can play around with it. And it's not the end of the world if we make a mistake or two. We learn from that.
Yeah, it's all about finding your own rituals and routines, and then the
Absolutely.
Habits will follow. Louise, to bring you in there, like some people will have taken up running or run consistently maybe to lose weight or just maintain a weight, which, and it can be very effective as a cardio measure in all of our lives, but you have to find the balance, don't you, with everything Mary's talking about there and making sure that
Absolutely.
You fuel the run.
Yeah, absolutely, Anya. And I think, you know, exactly as Mary said, it's quite individual, you know, when people are starting out. But certainly, I think it's really important that food is not the enemy of exercise. You know, sometimes people start training, and as you said, they might want to maybe lose a few pounds or feel healthier or feel fitter. But, you know, if you are not fueling your exercise, you can really run into problems. So, you know, you need to eat. So as you're doing more exercise, you're going to be hungrier, and it's really important to eat. And as Mary said, you've got the meals, you know, beforehand, having the right snacks for after your training session, making sure that you're eating well throughout the week, because it's really going to, you're going to perform better. And whether you're, you know, as we're all watching the elite athletes, I mean, they are all so finely tuned when it comes to their nutrition. And, you know, Sharon Madigan, who's the head of nutrition, performance nutrition with the Olympics teams, Team Ireland, she would be, you know, so carefully managing everybody's nutrition, and they're so finely tuned. But really, when you're starting off training, you just need to eat well. And that's when it comes down to kind of choosing what suits you and you know, having carbohydrates. We don't need to cut out carbs. That's what's fueling our body, which is really important. And it's choosing the right kind of carbohydrate foods that's going to help in terms of, you know, sustaining you and helping you feel well as you're beginning your training.
In all of that then, Mary, there'll be people listening who are preparing for, let's say, a Dublin Marathon and all of the race series that happens between now and then in October. And many will now be up and above the 10K threshold in their training. I can't say I've met it yet, and I am supposedly training for a marathon in October. But it's really that 10K is the important consideration. If you're under it, not a huge consideration when you should eat, you know, out on a run, but once you're starting to go past the 10K in distance, that's when you need to start really pricing in, baking in some snacks along the way.
That's true, yeah. I kind of do it in terms of time on the clock. I find once you're out for longer than an hour or longer than an hour and 15 minutes, you need to be thinking about, I suppose, supplementing the fuel that's within you with a little bit extra to keep your body going. Anyone training for a marathon, the big fear is the wall. You know, people talk about this wall. I mean, in simple, very simple terms, what it is your body running out of fuel, you know, and reverting back to the basic actions it needs to do. So it slows your body down. But what we want to try and do with our food and with our pacing, which we can talk about another day, but is to basically keep topping up our fuel as we go for the long distance. And that's the benefit now, is those training for the marathon, and I hope you have a lovely training plan on you, but what it should mean is a gradual long run increasing every week over the next couple of months. And each of those long runs is your chance to experiment with what food you can stomach and what feels palatable for you on the go. And you can use kind of real life food, or there's a lot of packaged up food as well now that's portable too, that people use.
Louise, it's a really good point there about experimenting with foods while you're out running, trying to kind of find, as you're finding your rhythm physically, is also finding what works, what doesn't work when it comes to your own fueling. What are some of the things though that people going out, you know, for that hour plus run should really avoid when they're out exercising?
Yeah, well, I think Mary mentioned at the beginning the idea of, you know, running with a really full stomach. You know, people might have kind of tried that or realised, well, that's definitely not going to work. So, you know, kind of high fat meals or very heavy meals are going to cause discomfort and are not going to be digested as easily. So you want a pre-workout snack. And again, you know, within kind of 1 to 3 hours, it's all about timing, again, before the workout to choose things. But things like, you know, something with carbohydrate in there, something with protein, which can help you feel fuller for a little bit longer. So something even like, you know, whole grain toast with an avocado or a boiled egg. You could have porridge with fruit and, you know, some nuts on it. If somebody prefers a liquid, they can go for making a smoothie with lots of fruit and foods in there. Now, of course, during the run, as Mary would be the expert on that for the long runs, I'm not a long runner myself, but, you know, there will be times then that you will need to eat something which is a quick release of carbohydrate, and that's going to top up your energy levels during the run. But it's a matter of kind of, I suppose, finding what suits you again. Greek yogurt is a great one that people kind of rely on, you know, if they're kind of having snacks either before or after runs. Low-fat milk is a really good refueling drink after training because it's got protein in it. It's low in fat, a whole lot of electrolytes and nutrition in there. So each time you eat something to kind of think, what's the nutrition in here and the carbohydrate, which is really the fuel that your body needs. And I think if somebody wants to speak to, you know, if they are struggling or they want individual advice, go and see a registered sports dietitian or a registered sports nutritionist. And they can go to feng.ie. Which is the Sports and Exercise Nutrition Group of the INDI. They're all qualified sports and exercise nutritionists and dietitians, and make an appointment. And that could even, you know, if somebody is struggling, maybe a one-on-one would give them a few pointers to kind of set them off.
To bring you in there, Mary, and there's lots of great advice in there, Louise, and hopefully people will get an opportunity to check out the website. We have a text message that asks, I have a 125-kilometre trail run planned for the end of the year. Wow. Any advice on nutrition and food on the day during the run would be helpful. P.S. I'm a 60-year-old male. So I'll throw that one to you, Mary. But also as you're gaming that one out, like as people see 5K runs, 10K runs, fun runs, family day runs ahead of, you know, bigger marathons and half marathons in the coming weeks, you'll often see hydration stations along all of these routes. They can get congested. What kind of advice to our texter there who's going to see those kind of congestion stations, and to folks at home listening, how would you advise approaching those?
Yeah, I suppose you've two extremes there. That very, very long distance run, I suppose the person training for that will have a huge amount of more experience between now and then. And actually, probably for a run, depending on something like that, you won't have too many people doing that distance. So congestion will be the least of their worries, of the amount of people anyway. Maybe a different kind of congestion. But they, for them, actually, portability of the snacks is probably going to be more important. Like a little enough, everything they do in the next couple of weeks and months, everything from trying out different types of energy gels to different types of, you know, natural food like nut bars or dried fruit or things like that. Or maybe I know people who are training for very long distance who make their own kind of snacks as well. And you can look up online as well, and I'm sure on Louise's website, an awful lot of stuff where you can make homemade stuff. But when you're doing something really, really long distance, the food has to stay, maybe if it's going to be hot weather or not. Jelly babies are always a good, reliable. But look also into what the race has at their own fueling stations, because if it's a long distance run, they may well allow you to leave food and your own snacks at certain water stations, or they may have stuff there that they have for you to use. So if you can practice eating with those things and see if they work for you. I mean, it's all down to training and practice, because what that will do is psychologically you will feel better going on to your race day knowing what works for you. And I think that's the aim for anyone training for a long distance run, that you leave no experiments for your race day. So you've tried all your food, you know what works, right from your dinner the night before to your breakfast, and even doing your runs at the same time of the day that your race will be on, because then you get to practice the gap between breakfast and your run. But to go back then to the shorter distance, or the maybe if you look at a 10K or beyond, say someone going for half marathons, we'll have a lot of people going for September half marathons now. I would say to people, if it's congested, and I tend to break it up in the groups I'm coaching now for all the levels from beginners to marathoners, I would say there is nothing wrong with walking 100 steps through a water station. It's a perfect chance to drink easily, because oftentimes it's a cup, an open cup, so it's hard to drink and run on that. Also, you have a chance to have your fuel. They normally tend to be every 5K or so, these stations. So it's a lovely mental check-in to say, okay, how am I? What do I need to drink? What do I need to eat? How am I feeling? Let's reset and let's focus to the next water station. So they're often nice little landmarks, and it stops you forgetting to eat. Some people think, oh, I'll never forget. I'm supposed to have a gel or a few sweets at this mileage, but people get carried away in the moment. So yeah, if you can use those water stations as your kind of check-in point and use them as your point, say, what does my body need right now, and not wait till you're hungry or thirsty to decide to get in advance of that.
Yeah, take the time, preserve energy.
And absolutely.
Louise, Miri was talking there about just the consistency of effort, constant experimentation, but also just being aware of your own body. And you've really important advice for younger women when it comes to training for a marathon.
Yes, yeah, definitely. And this is something which the sports dietitians, you know, have highlighted a lot. And I'm sure Mary has come across it as well with, you know, people she has been training with. But very often, if you're training very hard and you've really upped the level of exercise that you're doing, if you're not eating enough, very often young women in particular, they may lose their periods. Their periods can stop. And just to highlight that that's not a normal response to training. So that means that you are not matching your exercise efforts with your nutrition. And that should be discussed with your, you know, a medical professional or with your coach, because that really has long-term impacts. If you're not having your period and you're not menstruating, that means then that you're not producing enough estrogen. That can have bone health effects later on in life. So just for any young women who are training to realize that, and that can happen if you're, you know, upping your training, you're training really hard, you get home from your exercise sessions, you're not refueling, you're not making enough time to eat. And very often, you know, you might be losing weight, and that could have been, you know, the aim initially, or maybe not. But just to be aware of that and listen to your body. Everybody is different, but just that's something to keep an eye on, because I do know that it's something which sports dietitians and nutritionists are coming across a lot. And, you know, it just needs to, you need to match your fuel and your nutrition to your exercise. That's really, really important.
Okay.
But, you know, again, obviously the benefits of exercise are fantastic. And once you're, you know, training and enjoying your sport and doing it with
matters.
Other people.
Do it and have fun in the process. It's a good reminder.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that. Mary Jennings, running coach, and Louise Reynolds, dietitian with Irish Nutrition and Dietetic Institute. We're going to the ads now.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.